Kia ora. Kofu Smith ahau. Nau mai ki te whare. Welcome to the house. On Wednesday, we backgrounded the censure of Julianne Genter, who'd got in trouble for getting up close and personal with an MP that she felt had been creative with the facts. Today, we're going to discuss Parliament's rules around mistakes and lying, or as it's known, misleading the House or misrepresenting. Helping out are two experts.
David Wilson, Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Among his many roles, the Clerk advises speakers on Parliament's rules. And also...
Hello, I'm Duncan Webb. I'm the Member of Parliament for Christchurch Central, Justice Spokesperson, and amongst other things, sit on the Privileges Committee.
It's the Privileges Committee that investigates MP misbehaviour. As a legal academic, Duncan Webb took a particular interest in professional ethics. Let's start with an important fundamental about Parliament from Duncan Webb.
It's the freest place in terms of speech and expression in the country.
He's talking about the fact that MPs are privileged, but not in the way you think.
The absolute privilege that members of Parliament have to say anything. And that's part of the kind of values system that means we don't intervene lightly. We let people say stuff because that's the right that, you know, they had the English Civil War for.
Absolute privilege comes with no legal repercussions. And balancing that kind of power is a tricky thing. In Parliament, it's balanced by what Duncan Webb describes as a social compact, one where everyone agrees to abide by a standard of behaviour. For historical reasons, that behaviour is based on the conduct of a mid-16th century Italian courtier. Though anyone who thinks Renaissance Italians were an ideal of good behaviour never met, say, Lucrezia Borgia, or most of the popes. David Wilson.
MPs are not allowed to lie in the House. It's called deliberately misleading Parliament, and it can be treated as a contempt of Parliament. Members are allowed to be wrong, of course. It's just if they find out they were wrong about something that they've said, they're expected to come to the House and correct it. Because Parliament operates on a trust basis, on the assumption that all members are honourable and tell the truth, it's seen as a cardinal sin not to, to deliberately mislead the House, as distinct from just being wrong about something. And of course, MPs all have strong opinions about issues as well, and that's okay. MPs can tell another MP they're wrong. They don't have to change their mind. That's really the whole point of debate. But it's that issue of deliberately misleading the House, lying to it and knowing you are, that is a problem.
You're expected to use some old-fashioned language, to act honourably, to be honest and to be trusted and trustworthy. And so making stuff up is kind of the exact opposite of that. So that's the principles, but then you get into the practice, and the practice in reality is a world away from that because it is a pretty fast-moving place, and particularly when you're in government, because in opposition you tear things down, right? Facts, you're just saying that's wrong rather than saying this is right. But in government, you've got to be good on your facts because people are relying on you to get it right. But there's some shades of grey in there, and there's some very loose language. There's some opinions dressed up as facts, and they're probably the most dangerous, right? Because if it's, in my view, such and such is the case, it may be your view, and your view is absolutely wrong. Is that misleading? Probably not. And then, of course, there's just genuinely making stuff up or making fundamental errors, saying the world is like A, in fact it's like B. That is misleading and should be corrected.
When you're in the House, though, and someone says something on the other side of the House, you cannot stand up and say, that's a lie, can you?
No, you can't. No, you absolutely
because,
can't.
Because, you know, they're an honourable person and they wouldn't dare.
Well, and this is this weird thing. You're quite right that this is the idea that we don't call each other names like racists and liars, even if what is being said is untrue. We assume that they have simply made a mistake, which is different from lying, and that should be pointed out and they should be given an opportunity to correct. If they choose not to, there's a whole different process for that, right, which is the privileges process.
The whole reason that members can't lie is because it obstructs the functioning of the House. You can't scrutinise the government if ministers won't tell the truth. Equally, ministers can't fairly answer questions if the premise that the question is based on is also false and knowingly false. And as I say, that's different from being wrong because members can ask questions and they, you know, the premise of their question can be wrong. Ministers can make mistakes and they answer. That's all right. They're just supposed to put it right.
There are also reasons why speakers across the decades have created a very high bar for accusations of lying.
speakers over many years have ruled on what that bar is. And it really means that a member has personal knowledge of something, they know it to be untrue, and they go ahead and say it anyway.
They take a pretty robust approach and say, well, it's a debatable point, that's arguable, and having an opinion's one thing. And so they certainly lean in favour of free debate.
If there was a low bar on misleading the House and you could stand up and interrupt someone's speech or stand up after their speech and say, here's a list of the 10 things they got wrong, and then the House had to deal with those 10 things before it moved on to the next speech, you really wouldn't get anything done at all, would you?
Well, sometimes it feels like we don't anyway, but but I guess there's that it would slow things down. But there's probably a more important thing, and that is if I had to be absolutely sure of every single thing I said in Parliament, to what extent would that edit me? To what extent would that have a chilling effect on the fierceness with which I did my job? Because we do want our MPs to be brave and fierce, you know, and not be second-guessing every single thing they say. We talked about the gangs legislation that we were doing this week. I think it's despicable, and I made my views known using forceful language. I think respectful, but very forceful. Was every single assertion I made 100% correct? Quite possibly not.
It's difficult to know in the moment. You're just sort of saying what comes into your head, I suppose,
well,
sometimes.
Well, that's right. It's unscripted. It's extemporaneous. But it's important that you have that in Parliament, mm-hmm. because that is what debate is. It's a, you know, exchange in real time.
Right. So do you catch yourself sometimes going, oh, maybe that wasn't, yeah, I might have pushed that?
Yeah, but probably not, to be perfectly honest, probably not on the fact, but probably, you know, when you're getting so heated, you might use a personal reference that you think, that's probably not the best way to express my views of that mm-hmm. member's, you know, intelligence or qualities. But, you know, a lot of that, I'm not saying it's outrageous, I'm just saying it outrageous, but, you know, you want to keep that stuff moderated. That's probably for my own self what I feel. Sometimes I think, oh, no, I shouldn't have said it quite like that.
Yeah, no, I can get that. Because, I mean, the topics can be very heated, the debate can be very heated, and yet you, at the same time, want to be collegial.
You do want to be collegial. Having said that, it's, you know, it's hard to be chummy with people who you think are doing genuinely vile things to the country, honestly.
Not that you're having any strong feelings this week particularly. Here's another aspect of that honour system. If an MP in debate misquotes or misrepresents what you have done or said, you can correct them.
There's often hyperbole in debate where someone can perhaps more strongly represent a position than, you know, than the person whose position it is believes it to be. And there are a couple of ways of putting that right. One is that although members can generally only speak once in a debate, if they feel they've been misrepresented, they're actually allowed to get up and speak again, only to correct that misrepresentation. That almost never happens. They couldn't start a fresh debate. They can't attack the person who got things wrong, but they can put it right. There's the option of making a personal explanation to explain to the House what the situation is. It's a way that members correct statements they've made that are wrong, but also sort of a way of defending their honour. If they feel their reputation has been damaged in some way, they can speak to that.
Yeah, that happened in the House today in respect of a question about something Winston Peters had said. So it was to the Prime Minister, but Winston Peters stood up and said, that wasn't what I said, you're misrepresenting me, and, you know, you shouldn't proceed.
He's paraphrasing there, but you get the idea. Here's where it gets weird. The issue Hipkins had raised was Facebook posts from Mr. Peters on a sports gender issue. When it was denied, you might think that someone would open up Facebook and read out his posts. But no. As the Speaker said,
the Minister has taken a point of order, taking exception to the question and the assertion of the question. He's got a right to reply to that under our standing orders. Yes. He has replied that it is not accurate, and therefore that has to be, as members' word has to be accepted.
Every MP is honourable and so must be believed. Duncan Webb again.
I guess to put it in modern language, you know, MPs are deemed trustworthy. And so if they say, that's not what I said, that is a misrepresentation, then the House, every member and the Speaker will assume that to be true and move on to the next thing.
Before we move on, there's one more aspect to this. The Speaker will tell MPs reasonably often to withdraw a statement or even to withdraw and apologise. David Wilson points out that this is not a value judgment, just an attempt to keep order in the chamber. Also, it doesn't take the comment away.
Yeah, and you'll sometimes hear members say, I want to correct the Hansard. They can't actually do that. The Hansard is a verbatim transcript of what was said. It will also contain the correction, but that won't be overwritten over the original words.
He withdrew it, and then it's deemed, you know, this fiction that you have unsaid it, as if you can never unsay something. And then the apology, although they usually go hand in hand, they're actually two different things.
OK, moving on. We've talked about misleading the House and misrepresentation. A question I had was why so few MPs are ever taken to the Privileges Committee for misleading the House. It's not like MPs never ever tell porkies. We mentioned already that speakers set a high bar for sending referrals, but there's more to it than that. David Wilson notes that MPs have a lot of motivation to avoid referral and a way out.
Often they'll take the opportunity to come back into the House and correct something that they think has been misleading. Because if they made a mistake, they find out that they've made a mistake, the onus is on them to go back and correct it. If they do that, then they can't be accused of lying or deliberately misleading the House.
They can even do that after someone has complained to the Speaker, who, under the principles of open justice, will inform them that a complaint has been made. Apologising, in order to avoid trial and punishment, it's not a criminal justice policy that most MPs would vote for. But that's more or less House practice.
There is that onus to go and correct it, particularly on ministers, because they are expected to answer for the government and they're the only ones generally that face questions in the House.
Yeah, they're sort of held to a higher standard to some extent, is that right?
They are, because they're the ones who are questioned and have to give answers that are truthful and informative. And, you know, the government needs the confidence of the House in order to stay in government. The same isn't true of the rest of Parliament. So, yeah, they are held to a higher standard.
Ministers correcting answers after the fact is actually pretty common. They are held to a higher standard and need to get it right if possible. And with so much detail, genuine mistakes are unavoidable. Corrections sound like this.
Sorry, point of order, the Honourable Karen Chua.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I seek leave to correct an answer I gave in response to oral question number 11 yesterday.
Leave it sorted. Is there any objection? There appears to be none.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In my primary response to the Honourable Ginny Anderson...
Sometimes a canny minister can see that something they've said might be seen as a mistake and proactively corrects it on the fly. Halfway through a series of questions from Labour's Barbara Edmonds this week, it became clear that she'd gained some inside detail. The Minister of Finance, Nicola Willis, was not best pleased, but she also saw fit to make a point of clarification to an earlier answer.
Well, Mr. Speaker, two things. First, the member is making a series of assertions about a report that is not in the public domain, and I would suggest to her she be very careful about whether or not the sources she is getting her information from are providing her with accurate, fully contextualised information, because it will eventually go to her credibility if she makes assertions in this House that are incorrect. Second, Mr. Speaker, I wish to offer a point of clarification in regards to the previous comments that I made, to be clear with the House. When I said zero, what I meant was the potential cost to the Crown. It will, of course, cost something to upgrade port facilities. The point is what cost the Crown incurs.
Which takes us back to what the clerk noted earlier about corrections.
Because if they made a mistake, they find out that they've made a mistake, the onus is on them to go back and correct it. If they do that, then they can't be accused of lying or deliberately misleading the House.
Everyone seems to agree that on charges of misleading the House, there are easy options for an MP to correct and or apologise and avoid any consequences. But weirdly, occasionally, someone misses all of the exit signs and crashes right through into public embarrassment and the eventual sanction, which is also likely to be an apology. You've been listening to The House. It's a whakarongo koe ki te whare. This programme is produced with funding from Parliament's Office of the Clerk. Mā te wā.